Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein. I'm delighted to be joined by Christine Avanesian, Senior Manager of the Azure Blockchain Engineering Team at Microsoft. Welcome, Christine.
Thank you, Allison.
Christine, why don't we just get started with the history of your work, blockchain engineering at Microsoft, and Microsoft's engagement in this space historically?
Sure. So I've been with the blockchain team since January of 2016. I sort of started the team based out of Azure. And ultimately, this was one of those cases where our field had been receiving a lot of interest by customers around the technology called blockchain. They were asking, you know, how is this relevant? How does it apply to my business scenarios? And it was very much one of those projects that started from the customer demand, where we started understanding the technology and really wanting to help our customers.
Can you please just provide a background on what is blockchain and how does that relate to the enterprise, and how does it relate to currencies?
So it is very much a broad term, and I feel like it has come to mean many things to different people. As we've been examining the technology here at Microsoft, the definition that we came up with that I really like is it's a mechanism for secure multi-party computation that really enables organizations to evolve business models and processes. So it's not a new technology. If you really look at it, it's a combination of cryptography, distributed systems, databases, and in its simplest form, though not the most technically accurate, it's a distributed database. But more precisely, I like to think of it as a secure, shared, distributed ledger. And so what do I really mean by that? Well, let's start with the ledger. It's a database that's write once, but read many. So you can think of it as that there's really only immutable records for each transaction, like an accounting ledger, which is a fundamental element in building a system that supports non-repudiation. Then if we go to the distributed and shared aspect, it's designed with distribution and decentralization in mind. It is a network of nodes, which allows competitors to create a shared distributed system that they can collectively run. There's no single individual that manages the entire network, and there isn't a single individual that you have to trust. So if you think about existing systems today, intermediaries that have been created may not actually be required to govern a centralized system or to ensure trust. It is something that is very difficult to actually create today with traditional systems and processes, though not impossible. Blockchain has just been a technology that has sort of emphasized this point and brought this particular class of problem forward. And finally, it's secure. So the underpinning of a blockchain solution is based on cryptography, both standard that we know and some more cutting edge cryptography that's coming out of research in this space. Every transaction is signed. Transactions are grouped together in blocks, which are chained together. That's where you get the blockchain, and the chaining happens with cryptographic hashes.
So based on that definition, and that was excellent, by the way, there can be myriad applications for blockchains. A lot of attention goes into finance, but it seems like this would be very applicable to many industries.
That's very much true. There are a myriad of applications. You know, we're seeing a lot of interest within the supply chain manufacturing space, where you think about provenance or authenticity of goods, whether it be diamonds or high-value art. We see applications in healthcare, and so I expect over the coming years there'll be scenarios across pretty much every industry. If we, again, go back to sort of that simple definition of multi-party computation, you can imagine any place where a set of enterprises have tried to collaborate and places where there have been an intermediary that's come to be, or places where there haven't been, and therefore these systems are completely disparate, are ripe opportunities.
What does Microsoft do on areas that the industry needs to come together to work, and what are you doing about it in terms of contributions?
When we've been working with our customers and when we're sort of looking holistically at the market, as enterprises look to adopt the technology, they've been running into scalability, confidentiality, and governance requirements that prevent them from moving, say, a blockchain POC to production. And there have been efforts to adapt either existing public blockchain protocols or to create new protocols, but those protocols have generally traded one required enterprise attribute for another. So you can think of it as improved confidentiality, trading off for lower performance. And so as we were looking to figure out how we can help accelerate production enterprise adoption of blockchain technology, we really wanted to come up with a solution where we could target all of these key enterprise requirements: high throughput, low latency, more flexible industry or business-specific confidentiality models that were easy to implement, and to be able to handle all the network policy management scenarios through a distributed governance mechanism. And by policy management, if we just think about it, we have the public networks where anyone can join the network. But if we think about a consortium scenario where enterprises come together, there's a whole set of management around who can join, what are the applicable software mechanisms that can be used. And we wanted to make sure that any sort of business decision you might make in a room with a set of people could actually be translated into a governance model. That's where we actually had an opportunity to really work with ledger providers to create the COCO framework.
So tell me about COCO and where it is in its development and where you see it moving forward.
So if we think about a blockchain protocol and decompose it into pieces, COCO provides the consistent distributed persistent store. So you can think of a particular implementation of this, which we have, is a key value store based off the RAST protocol. It also provides the secure node-to-node and application-to-node communication. If you remember, blockchain is a network, so COCO is still very much a distributed network, and so all the communication between the nodes and between the application and node are also included. It also provides primitives to implement arbitrary confidentiality models and a codified governance model to support these arbitrary network policies. Then, if we think about the blockchain protocol side, we wanted to maintain the distributed ledger model, the transaction processing, and the virtual machines.
Can you tell me where Intel came into play in terms of specific optimizations for the framework?
So COCO achieves the scalability and the confidentiality through the use of trusted execution environments, such as Intel's SGX or Windows Virtual Secure Mode, enabling the creation of a trusted network of physical nodes on which to run this distributed ledger. So with the use of TEs, such as Intel's SGX, we're able to create this network of trusted nodes that reduces what was originally a Byzantine fault-tolerant problem into a crash fault-tolerant problem. What this really means is we're able to simplify consensus and go back to algorithms that have been used in distributed systems to solve a simpler class of problem and thus improve transaction speed and latency. We can do this with the use of TEs, all without compromising security or assuming trust. That's because the code that we're actually running, the COCO framework code in addition to the protocol code, runs within these secure containers enclaves within the SGX hardware and allows us to make certain guarantees about the code and what is actually running. And therefore, we can actually create a trusted set of nodes without necessarily having members, these are the actual physical organizations, needing to trust one another. Similarly, if we look at the confidentiality model, we're able to turn the confidentiality problem into a simpler data access problem. The transactions, the smart contract code, the smart contract state, it can all be processed in the clear within the TEE, and we can ensure that no one actually sees this code within the TEE, and yet we can reveal the actual data only to authorized parties, similar to how you would implement data access control today.
For folks who want to engage in COCO and find out more, where would you send them for more information?
I would recommend starting on our Azure blog. If you go over to the Azure blog, there's a category called blockchain, and we have a recent article written by our CTO, Mark Rasanovich, titled Announcing the COCO Framework for Enterprise Blockchain Networks. That particular blog post also has links to our technical white paper, which goes into much greater detail.
Well, Christine, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. It was so great to catch up on this. As you move forward, we'd love to have you back on the program.
Thank you very much for having me, and I'd love to be back. Thank you.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.